presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower, CX-4 calling control tower, standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4, wind southeast, ceiling 1200, all clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan, coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves, coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, you know use of manual instrument landing approach procedures in regularly scheduled airline operations is the result of many years of research and development. In fact, United Airlines began working on an instrument radio landing system way back in 1932. Hundreds of successful landings were made experimentally by United pilots before the last war, so it's easy to see just how much work and time and effort went into the thing. Of course, the war halted commercial developments along this line, and any further activities had to await the return of peace. But at the same time, much important work was being done by the military services. Now that airline travel is becoming more a part of everyday life than ever before, instrument landings also grow in importance. The airlines realize they must lick the worst enemy of their schedules, weather. Anyone who's followed aviation in the past few years knows that instrument landings are designed to permit planes to come down under conditions of reduced ceiling and visibility. It's this feature which makes it extremely valuable for airline operators because it's a step forward toward greater regularity of flights. With ILS, planes will be able to land and take off in all types of weather. Today, to take United Airlines as an example, 500 of United's flight captains have been checked out in the use of the instrument landing system. And all necessary equipment has been installed in the company's fleet of 125 mainliners. I'll be back later, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Two shadowy figures, barely outlined in the light of a street lamp gleaming through a dirty window pane, crouch tensely behind a door, waiting, as the rhythmic tattoo of leather heels on a wooden floor comes closer and closer. Hop and Tank are in Roy Saunders' office, ready for a showdown with the brutal oil company operator. The footsteps slow down and then stop just outside the door. Muscles tense, hearts pounding, the boys wait as the doorknob slowly turns. A cold draft sweeps in from the darkened hallway, and for an instant there's utter silence. Then, one step, a second, a hand fumbles against the wall, and the light switch clicks on.
Get him, Tank.
Roger.
Hey.
Oh, no, you don't, sonny boy. Drop it.
My arm. My arm.
Drop it.
All right. I'll let go of my arm.
That's the door.
Hold him, Tank. I'll close the door. See if anybody was with him.
Good idea.
How did you guys get out of that oil tank?
Never mind, punk. Before we're through with you, you'll wish you were in it.
Nobody out here, Tank. He's alone.
Too bad. I want Saunders, not this little jerk.
He'll do for the time being.
Sure, we owe him plenty.
Look, you guys, don't try any rough stuff. I'm warning you.
Yeah, will you listen to him? Big and tough when you got a gun, ain't you? Now you're shivering in your boots.
You won't get away with it.
Shut up. Hop.
Yeah.
How do you think I should begin? I want to mess him up real pretty.
Save it.
You what? Try anything.
Oh, Hop. Wait a few minutes, Tank. He has to be in condition to talk first.
Oh, you had me worried.
All right, chum, sit down in that chair.
No.
You heard him.
Let it go. Let go.
When Hop says sit down, he means sit down.
Okay, Hop. Thanks. Now talk, chum.
I don't know nothing.
What's Roy Saunders' angle? What does he know about the flying wing? What's his tie-up with the Wailing Witch? What did he talk to Carla Davis about?
That enough questions, pal?
I don't know nothing. Honest, I don't.
Stop lying.
I ain't lying. You gotta believe me.
I'll start all over again, and we'll take the questions one at a time. Why is Roy Saunders interested in the flying wing?
I don't know, I tell you.
Perhaps you don't understand how we feel. You tried to kill us. We don't exactly like you for that.
I'd be awful happy to return the compliment.
No. No.
We're not kidding around, and we won't take I don't know for an answer. Now, for the last time, why is Roy Saunders interested in the flying wing?
He...
Come on.
No. No, I can't. He'd kill me.
What do you think we'll do, kiss you?
Please, leave me alone.
I want an answer.
I won't talk.
Okay, then we'll start a little workout.
Don't let go of me.
Well,
okay. Let me go.
Well?
Roy, the boss wants to get hold of... No, no, don't!
Pop, the lights went out. Wow, he's in the room. Angle around. We can get up. Check. Hey, watch yourself. I'm okay. Hold still a second. He's running away.
After him.
Oh, too late. He's gone. We'll never catch him now.
Turn the light on again, but check the hall. Make sure he isn't pulling a fast one.
Right. Watch the pump. Don't let him get away.
He can't.
What do you mean?
Oh. He got the first slug.
Dead?
Yeah.
The dirty rat killing his own men.
Tank, check that hall.
Yeah, I am. There's nobody out there. How the heck did Saunders get in, anyhow?
Lord only knows. I didn't even hear him open the door. How do you know it was Saunders? Did you see him?
I didn't see nothing. I was too busy ducking.
Oh.
Who else could it have been?
I don't know. Well, if it was Saunders, he won't be back, so we might as well get going.
If the cops come around, it won't be healthy.
Oh, we'll have to report to them, Tank. Tell them exactly what happened.
Oh, we'll be sticking our necks out. They won't believe us.
We've got to report, fella. That's the law.
Well, why don't you let Major McCall do it? He can explain things better than us.
All right. Do you have the plans?
Put them on the desk. Okay, got them.
Okay, then. Let's go.
With the last backward look at Saunders' henchman, slumped lifeless in the chair, Hop and Tank leave the office, and, proceeding cautiously down the hall, still wary of a tramp, finally reach the street. A few minutes later, they are again worming their way through the crowds on the brilliantly lit main street of Yellow Creek.
Boy, this is worse than a Saturday night crowd in Lakeville.
The men from the oil fields live here in Yellow Creek. Come on, slide through fast. Stand out like sore thumbs in these dirty clothes.
Yeah, I know. People have been looking at me. Why don't we jump a cab?
I've been watching for one, but they're all busy. We'll have to walk, I'm afraid.
Oh, gosh, our plane's clear over on the other side of town.
Oh, Tank, come on. Pick him up and lay him down.
Yeah.
Light's against us.
I see it. Hey, ain't that the bus that goes back to the plant?
Yeah, looks like it. Hey, stay on the sidewalk, will you?
I thought I saw it. Yeah, I did.
You did what?
I saw Max Kell. Pop was sitting in the bus.
So? I told him to go back to the plant.
Yeah, but you know who was sitting next to him? Carla Davis.
Oh. Now, lights change. Come on.
Well, ain't you got nothing to say?
What do you want me to say?
Kind of fishy, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. Maybe Kell's still playing detective. Why shouldn't he and Carla sit together? They know each other, and she'd think it was strange if he didn't.
Okay, but how come she took this bus? Kell said she was waiting at the bus station over an hour ago. What's she been doing all this time?
Yeah, you've got something there, I think.
I don't think. I know. Roy Saunders and Carla Davis, they're working together.
Yeah, we still can't prove it.
Proof nuts! I bet my last Sunday shirt on it. I'll tell you right now, pal, if we don't do something about it pretty darn quick, something's going to happen we can't wriggle out of.
Pop remains silent, leading the way along the crowded street as Tank dogs his heels, his homely features set in a troubled look of foreboding. A strange, ill-assorted mass of evidence is piling up. Will the boys be able to sort it out before their unknown enemy strikes again? Gang, you won't want to miss the spine-tingling climax of today's episode, so stand by. Now, gang, let's get back to those radio landing instruments. First, the localizers, and they're just what the name implies. They show the pilot that the airport is located straight ahead. When he comes in contact with the localizer radio beam, the pilot can tell that he's approaching the field, and he sets his equipment to receive those signals. A very high-frequency plane radio feeds the signals, which lead the plane unerringly to the airport runway. Another of the instruments on the panel is the cross pointer. That shows the pilot where he is in relation to the localizer beam. If the plane's right on the beam, the signals come in loud and clear, and the vertical needle on the instrument is straight up and down. But should the plane get off to one side or the other, the radio signals grow weaker, and the needle moves to the right or left. Nearer the airport, the plane's receiver begins picking up signals from a glide path transmitter at the airport. The glide path signals are sent out in a different pattern from the localizer beam, and both of them converge on the spot where the pilot wants to land on the runway. It's really just as if the plane were sliding down a kite string. The cross-pointer instrument also has a horizontal needle, which tells the pilot what to do to keep on the glide path. As long as the vertical needle and horizontal needle are crossed within the circle at the center of the instrument, the plane is on course and making a perfect descent down the glide path. These instrument landing systems are being put to use every day. A total of 52 airports along the nation's air routes have been equipped with radio localizers and glide paths by the CAA. It's the first step toward the goal of all-weather flying and another important advance for aviation in America. Fellas and girls, there'll be a place for you in aviation, so get ready now. For always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Unable to find a cab, Hop and Tank were forced to walk all the way to the outskirts of Yellow Creek, where they had left their Piper Cub. As we join them now, the little plane is warmed up and ready for flight, and the boys make final preparations for takeoff on the trip back to the underground aircraft plant in Black Mesa.
That sounds pretty good, doesn't she, Tank?
Yeah, I got plenty of life in her. She'll need it, too. How are we going to get off this postage stamp field, anyhow?
We got in, didn't we?
Yeah, by flying a tightrope between them oil derricks. Ain't gonna be so easy taking off.
I've cranked the stabilizer trim all the way back. That'll give us more lift.
We could use a pogo stick.
There's no sense sitting here worrying about it. Strapped in?
Uh-huh. Let her roll. I'll start her right from the edge.
You better.
You don't see anyone on the field, do you? Nobody but them guys are on that well way down at the other end.
Oh, we'll clear them, all right.
Sure, I'm worried about clearing the well.
There we are.
All set, huh? For just about anything. If you mind if I don't look?
Okay, I'll tell you when we're clear.
Thanks. Here goes. Come on, baby. Hit it hard. Open her all the way, will you? The throttle's in the slot.
Well, get up some steam. We're almost halfway down the field.
I've got the tail up. We'll lift all right.
The barracks are awful close.
Yeah, I thought you weren't going to look. Here we go.
Come on, get that stick back. Grab some sky.
Relax, will you? We'll make it all right.
My gosh, I think we will.
So we'll miss those derricks by 20 feet.
Hey, what's the matter with the engine?
I don't know.
What's shaking us up? Tank, the propeller's tearing loose.
What?
There, it's gone. Cut the switch quick before it tears us apart.
And we're dropping.
Jumping jennies, the oil derrick.
I'll try to slide between them.
You can't make it, Hop. You can't make it.
Swinging the stick hard over and jamming his foot down on the rudder pedal, Hop tries to force the small plane between two towering oil derricks. And for a split second is almost successful. But a blast of hot air from the well beneath them suddenly forces the wing up, and the Piper hooks into the iron framework. The light plane skids around in midair, the derrick its pivot, and then, all forward speed and balance lost, drops straight down, hitting the ground with a sickening crack. Dust rises over the wreckage, then is dispersed by the wind, revealing two still figures slumped in the wreckage of the cockpit. Gang, don't miss our next episode for anything. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. Come on, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazines.